All right, let us go ahead and confess over the word of God. We're going to get our Bibles in our hands. Before we do it, we're going to briefly pray. So I'll do that now. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, I'm praying that you would illuminate and anoint this preaching moment in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise again. All right, so last week we talked about me coming into 14 years of pastoral ministry. And so having said that, I've got a title that I want to kind of explain. So I'm going to just go ahead and have them put the title up, and then I'm going to explain it. So it's called Failure to Follow. Failure to Follow. I'll say it one more time for impact. Failure to Follow. And so not often does my life align with my preaching the way it will in the next several weeks. So normally, I say as my personal devotion, I read through the Bible every year. And so as I'm reading through the Bible, there are rare cases that where I'm actually reading is exactly where I'm preaching. Every now and then that happens, but normally I'm reading one thing, I'm preaching something different. Because the studying that I do for me is not for preaching, it's for me, it's for my own personal devotion. But sometimes those things line up. But you also know that I'm in college, and in college, I'm at a college that is a Bible-based Indiana Wesleyan. And so sometimes I'm taking courses that have to do with the Bible, but it's a leadership degree. But it just so happens that the next 6 weeks, I'm going to be in what we call a followership class or followership course. And so it just so happens that what I am studying in college is actually going to fit very well to what I think I need to preach. Because I talked about me being a leader here, a senior leader for 14 years. But there was an old saying, and Apostle Wilson is the first person I heard say it, that says, if a leader has no one following them, they're not leading, they're just taking a walk. You're just walking if there's nobody behind you. So as a pastor shepherding people, if there's nobody following me, then I'm really not leading. So we want to talk about following because the ministry is not just made up of a pastor. Unfortunately, in our day and age, and even in past times, sometimes the pastor gets all the shine. But do you know that Deliverance Temple would be no good if I was the only person here? If nobody tuned in, nobody walked in the doors, nobody gave, nobody prayed, nobody said amen, nobody listened to the sermons, then it would do me no good. So leadership and following have to go together. So we're going to walk through what it means to follow. And the first thing I want to talk about is the failure to follow, because sometimes people are pointing the finger at the pastor when they need to be pointing the finger at themselves. So let's look up what followership means. This comes directly from my course, because it's not really a real word, but it's a play on leadership, because leadership gets all the shine. But followership is what undergirds leadership, but leadership gets all the buzz and shine. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm going to a followers conference? I'm taking a followers course. It's always about leadership and leaders and leadership development. But what I'm learning is that we develop leaders, but often we don't develop followers. Now, in our context, in the church context, it should be easier to develop followers because for us, it's called discipleship. Because we as believers, we all have decided to follow Jesus. But we want to go beyond just following Jesus. But what does it mean to follow in your local church context? Now, let me back up and say many people may just be visitors. But other people say, I'm a member of Deliverance Temple. So if you are a member of Deliverance Temple, we're not just talking about a member of the body of Christ, but a member of Deliverance Temple, what is it that you are doing to advance the ministry that you are a member of? Amen. I'm a member of Deliverance Temple. How long have you been there? I've been there all 14 years of pastors, senior pastorship, but I can't tell you none of the vision statement. He says them C's all the time. I don't know what that means, but why not? Why haven't you caught the vision to be able to follow it? Some people say, I may not be able to articulate it, but I can live it. Okay, I can take that. So what does it mean to be a follower? So we're going to start a series on following and followership, and I want you to self-assess. I want you to test yourself as we go through this. All right, so there's another part of followership I want him to throw up. Just as leadership is a skill that needs developed, so is the skill of following. So in these next couple of weeks, we are going to be developing you as followers. What does it take to follow? And it's important because following happens in many things, not just in the church context, but in many cases, you are not the head honcho. There's somebody above you, whether it's a boss, whether it's following the lead of your spouse or following the lead of government. So learning how to follow and being developed in following is very good because what it does, I found out as I'm studying, the same qualities that develop you as a follower are the same qualities that grow you as a leader. You won't become a good leader if you're not a good follower. So this is going to benefit you in all aspects of your life. So I want to throw this up, and this is just a precursor. It's called the five P's of following. There could be many other things. I'm just going to throw up five of them, and here it is. It is, following is paramount, meaning it is important. It is imperative. Following is positive. The reason I want to say that, because sometimes people think following is negative. Oh, I'm just the church flunky. I'm not the pastor, I'm the flunky. No, following does not make you a flunky. Following, it makes you a supporter, makes you someone that undergirds. A follower can be very, very vitally important. So it's paramount, it's positive, it's also powerful. It is powerful to be a follower, especially a follower who has the ear of the leader. A very, very good follower will see what the leader cannot see. Amen. And will fix and take care of things that the leader cannot see. So the follower is not flunky. It's paramount, it's positive, it's powerful. And let me add this, it is very practical. It's practical to learn and to grow in your ability to be a follower of Christ, number one, a follower of the good things, and learn how to even follow through in your own life. Some of y'all can't even lead your own selves. You'll say, I'm going to the gym today, and your body say, no, we're not, and you can't even come together. It'd be good to learn how to follow through on some of the things that are in your mind. I talked about it last week about me jumping out of the plane, and it was just not just about jumping out of the plane, but it's about me following through on things that I said I want to do. A lot of us, we talk a high game up here, but our follow through is down there. Yeah. So this is going to help us even individually. And then number five, it is purposeful. And the reason why I accidentally said number one, because to me it is quite the most important, because the following is going to cause you to end up in your purpose. If I tell you that I want you and I to go somewhere. Let's talk about Sister Jossie. I say, Sister Jossie, I want you to go to Branson, Missouri with me, but my car is full. You're going to have to drive. And if she says, okay, I'm going to follow you, that means she has to follow me to end up in the destination. If I end up in Branson, Missouri, and she ends up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, she can't blame me because she was following me and I ended up where I was supposed to. If I, as your leader, end up anointed, end up blessed, end up powerful, end up successful, and you don't end up there, why are you pointing the finger at me if you are following correctly? So this is going to benefit all of us. And sometimes they're bad leaders. But you can look at my life and see that I'm doing something right. Not everything right, but you can look at my life. You can look at how other people respond to me, not just my members, but how other people respond to me. When you bring up that you know Pastor Mitchell or you go to Deliverance Temple, watch how other people light up because of how I've been. So if I'm going in the right direction, just get on board and follow. All right, so now moving right along, four failures in following. Lately, I've been breaking things down into four. It's just easy to grab into four. Four failures in following. The first two, I'm going to take ownership and blame the leader. The last two, we're going to blame the person. Actually, the second one can blame the leader and the person, but we're going to start off with blaming the leader. So let me say this, number one. Many times the reason why people have a hard time following is because leadership is so poor. It's hard to follow a poor leader. Have you ever worked at a job with a poor boss?
Yes.
That just makes chaos and drama out of everything. Like things would run smooth if they would get you off of the leadership, if they get you out of the way. I remember we had one boss and somebody told him and said, you go upstairs, we don't want to see you. We do better when we don't see you. We know what to do. We've been here longer than you have. You just got hired. You messing up. Disappear. We'll take care of it. Because at the end of the day, we want to check too. But bad leadership micromanages. Bad leadership does a lot of things. But I'm going to point out something because all of these are going to have the C with it. So it'll be a failure with a word that starts with C. So number one is this, failure to communicate. We have a saying said, what we have here is a failure to communicate. And so let me even talk about my own self. This is something, even though I'm a communicator, this is something I can get better at. And I have had to pray to get better at because how I think it is not always how I articulate it. I'm not always as clear as I want to be. Sometimes when I say things and seven people get seven different ideas of what I said, I can't blame the seven people. Sometimes I have to adjust and make sure, am I communicating properly? So a leader needs to communicate. What if, going back to scenario, Jossie is following me, but I didn't tell her where we were going. So when she ended up in Kalamazoo, Michigan, she thought she was right because I failed to communicate. We're supposed to go to Branson, Missouri. So communication is very important. Let's look at a story. I'm going to try to have Mother Mitchell read it. 1 Samuel 14:24. We're going to talk about a poor leader.
Now the men of Israel were pressed to exhaustion that day because Saul had placed them under an oath saying, let a curse fall on anyone who eats before evening, before I have full revenge on my enemies. So no one ate anything all day.
Another thing a poor leader does, he unnecessarily taxes his people. So Saul said, nobody's going to eat. I curse anybody that eats. Saul got excited. Let's look at the next verse. Just keep reading until I tell you to stop.
Even though they had all found honeycomb on the ground in the forest, they didn't dare touch the honey because they all feared the oath they had taken.
Some people only follow because they fear the leader. A leader that has to make people afraid to get them to follow is not really a good leader. Keep going.
But Jonathan, had not heard his father's command. And he dipped the end of his stick into a piece of honeycomb and ate the honey. After he had eaten it, he felt refreshed.
One scripture says his eyes opened up. He felt refreshed. So Saul is the leader, and he makes this oath over all the army. And the one person he forgot to tell was his own son. And so his son, they had split up camp. His son was in another camp, and he had defeated several men. He was wore out. He was exhausted. He grabs the honey. He eats it. He thinks he's doing the best thing. Let's keep going. Verse 28.
But one of the men saw him and said, "Your father made the army take a strict oath that anyone who eats food today will be cursed. That is why everyone is weary and faint."
Verse 29.
"My father has made trouble for us all," Jonathan exclaimed.
I love a good, honest person. I know this is my daddy, and I know he's the leader, but he made a mess of everything for all of us. I like his honesty. Some of y'all got to stop going along with family just because they got the same blood, but you tell the truth when folk mess up. "My father has made trouble for us all." Continue to read verse 29.
"A command like that only hurts us. See how refreshed I am now that I've eaten this little bit of honey."
Man, I wish everybody could enjoy this. That command, it hurts all of us. Not only was it poorly communicated, but it wasn't even well thought out. And that's the thing, when a leader doesn't communicate to his people, then he doesn't have a chance for his people to say, "Hold up, Pastor Andre, that may not be the best idea." I feel like the Lord is saying, when everybody leaves Deliverance Temple, y'all all need to drive in reverse to get home. I feel like God is saying, "Pastor Andre, that might not be the best idea." And somebody in a brand new car says, "I love you, Pastor, but I ain't that big of a fool." But sometimes you need to communicate things so people can talk things through to you and help you do things. There are some things, let me be honest, there's some things Lady Devin has saved y'all from. Because what I had in my mind to do, Lady Devin's like, "No, don't quite do it that way. We should probably do it different." Because a good leader needs some people he can communicate with. All right, let's go to the last verse, verse 30.
"If the men had been allowed to eat freely from the food they found among our enemies, think how many more Philistines we could have killed."
In other words, the leader is hindering the progress of all of us. Now, I'm not going to give all of this because I've got some more to get to. But when you go to the story later on, you find out that they begin to have some trouble. And so Saul is trying to figure out who caused the trouble. And he used what they call the Urim and the Thummim. And it came and it fell on Jonathan. He's like, "Jonathan, what'd you do?" John's like, "I ate the honey." And Saul was going to kill his own son. He said, "I made an oath. I'm getting ready to kill him." And the people stopped him. The army is like, "What are you doing? If it wasn't for Jonathan, we wouldn't be here." So they saved Jonathan's life. And later on, we see how Saul was quite confused. He wasn't really a good leader. So we're starting off the problem number one with the leader. So let's add a few things that I want to help us with, just a few takeaways. Here it is. It's hard to follow correctly when communication is rash or unclear. All right, so I'm not very rash. I'm usually a very thinking person, but I have been unclear. And sometimes I have to apologize to you because I think I'm clear and I'm not clear, and you can't follow because I haven't clearly communicated. Now, I would ask, we're small enough for you to call me, text me, and find out, is that what you mean to do? Is that what you meant to say? You know, because I edit my own sermons, sometimes I find out I said stuff I totally didn't mean to say. Just get caught up. I'm trying to say things. Last week, we were talking about Elisha. And we were talking about Elisha. I kept saying Elijah and go back to Elisha as I was editing. I was like, man, I messed that up. I'm a leader, but I'm human. And in my humanity, I mess up. And so I can be honest and say some of the issues we have is because of my poor communication. So I take the L. But there's going to be some stuff in this sermon you're going to have to take the L on too. Let's go to something else. I'm going to add this before we go to point number two. Here it is. Sometimes the failure to follow is not rebellion. It's exhaustion, frustration, or confusion caused by poor communication. This is a quote. Saul's silence and rashness nearly cost him his son and his army's confidence. Let me say this to you and free some of you up. The job is acting like it's y'all fault, and sometimes it's not y'all fault at all. It's the management and the upper management that's messing things up. You can release yourself. It is sometimes them causing the trouble. All right, let's move on to number two. Now, this one can work in both ways. Number two is failure to contribute. So we have a failure to communicate. Number two, we have a failure to contribute. Let's go to a famous story between Moses and his father-in-law, Exodus 18 and 17. Let's look at that verse. What does it say?
This is not good, Moses' father-in-law exclaimed.
Now, Moses is a great man, a very powerful man, and they had just defeated the army of the Egyptians. They've come across the Red Sea, and they have had a great victory. But as time has gone on, Moses' father-in-law sees what is going on, and he makes a pointed statement to another one. Another time, a family member told the truth. This ain't good what you're doing. This is not good leadership, Moses. And here's the reason why. We're going to back up to verse 14 and read the reason why.
When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?"
So you're doing a whole bunch of stuff and nobody else is contributing, and it's not their fault, it's your fault. Because sometimes what leaders struggle to do also, they struggle to delegate. They struggle to let go. They struggle to allow others to contribute. I have been guilty of this as well. So I'll take another L on this. And sometimes the reason why leaders struggle with this is because when they do delegate it, sometimes people do drop the ball. But when you're going to go far in anything, you have to have people who are willing to contribute, and you have to have leaders who will allow it. So Jethro told Moses, "What you're doing is not good." And if you know the story, he basically said, "You are going to wear yourself out, but you're also going to wear the people out. Everybody is going to struggle if we don't find more contribution." Let me add this. Contribution in a church is not just giving in the offering. There are other ways to contribute. And when the leader hasn't delegated something directly to you, you have to have enough wisdom to say, "What can I pick up? What can I add? How can I contribute?" Well, the pastor ain't never asked me personally to do something, but why don't you see something and do it yourself? As my children, I had to talk to my sons, they're growing. I got upset with them and I said, "I shouldn't always have to tell y'all to take out the trash. You see the trash just like I see the trash. Your cell phone bill is always paid. The light bill's always paid. You always have what you need. I shouldn't have to tell you to take out the trash." And the only thing they could say to me was, "Yes, sir." Because I was absolutely right. But as the same token, as a leader, it's a little bit different. There are things you see that I just cannot see. I'm up here preaching. I'm up here doing stuff. There are things that you see, and you have to have the wisdom to contribute. But a lot of times what happens is people don't want to contribute, and then they want to blame the leader for their lack of contribution. Well, Pastor Andre, he always has his picks and chooses. Well, maybe I do. Maybe that's my problem. But let me tell you something. When somebody steps up and they do a great job, it's hard to deny them. Amen. Because they are contributing. Let's go further and pick up some more. We're going to switch verses. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12.
Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part.
Not just one part. All right, read.
If the foot says, "I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand," That does not make it any less a part of the body.
I'm not really a part of Deliverance Temple because I never get to preach. They'll never let me get the mic. Sweetheart, you don't know how to preach. Years ago, I've said it before, but it always tickles me. There was somebody, part of our family, that spoke to my grandmother, Emma. And Mother Emma was very sweet, but she could cut you kind of sweet. And so this family member said that they was going to get their minister's license. And they wanted Mother Emma to be excited about it. And Mother Emma said, baby, you got to get saved first. Before you get a minister's license and get to preaching to anybody, you need a better relationship. And so some people, they want the stage. They want to say something. Well, y'all cut testimony service. Not really. What happened was people wasn't testifying about the goodness of God. They get up talking about, well, I went to Aldi yesterday, and I had a quarter to put it in the cart. And then you're thinking they at least going to say that somehow they didn't need to use the quarter, but no, I put the quarter in there and I pushed my cart. Well, what are you talking about? You just talking. We need people to have something to say. But what's important, though, is that not everything in a church is top-down communication. You may have never grabbed the mic and said something. One of the scariest things for most people is public speaking, public communication. So they may not ever be your thing. But guess what? You could open the door for somebody. I don't remember Will Orderland coming up behind the podium and grabbing the mic and talking. But many of you have talked to them because they opened the door for you and they greet you. I don't know how many times Doug has grabbed the mic and have talked and given us a big soliloquy, but he's done other things. In other words, just because you're not on the stage doesn't mean you're not contributing. So what is it that you can contribute? And when you are a real follower, you find ways to contribute even when you're not asked to. Because it's important to you. I've seen some of you who are not necessarily the cleaners of the church pick up somebody else's water bottle, pick up somebody else's Cheeto bag, because to you it's important that the house is clean. Nobody asked you to do it, but when you take ownership, when you value something, you step up to the plate and you contribute.
Amen.
Then other people, they just don't care. Because some people are contributors and some people are consumers. All right, let's keep going. Let's look at verse 16.
And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body?
It doesn't make you any less a part of the body because you are not the pastor. When you pull up on the parking lot, there's a sign and it has my name on it. But just because the sign has my name on it doesn't mean that this is not your church as well. As the leader, I stand out front. I'm the shepherd. I stand out front. But this belongs to you as well. So the eye can't say I'm not the part of the body because I'm the ear. They have to actually work together. And what's so interesting about the body is you don't know how important certain things are until they're breaking down. Until you can no longer use them, until you can't function. I see Brother Kevin Benford here today, and he's gone through some health challenges, but he can tell you how important certain parts of the body are that you have taken for granted, that you have forgotten. Every joint supplies that the Bible says. So the body is important. If you are a member of this church, you are vitally important, and you need to contribute. See, what you don't understand is the heart is very important in the body, and it pumps a lot of blood. But do you know that it could be a leg, a blood clot way down by your ankle that causes the heart to stop beating? It wasn't the heart that messed up at all. It was something way down there. It could be just the vein that got too tight. Every little thing in your body is important, and everybody who's a part of the body of Christ at Deliverance Temple is important, but you have to contribute. That's why sometimes people get mad when folk ask, we haven't seen you for a while. Why are you bothering me? It's not that we're bothering you. You don't understand. When we don't see you, we miss something because you bring something to the table. And what happens is people will get mad about something and then they'll just up and they'll leave and they'll forget. They don't understand that, yeah, you may got mad at them over there, but when you leave, you're hurting all these people over here. You hurt the body when you only think about you. All right, let's keep going. Verse 17.
If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear?
If the whole body were an eye, you would be some kind of ugly. As beautiful as you are right now, if all you were was a big eye, it reminds me of the cartoon Monsters, Inc. If that's all you were, I don't know if I'd want to let you in my church. I'd let you in, but when we go around and greet each other, I don't know if I'd hug you. If the whole body were an eye, that's not the way it's designed. Keep reading.
How would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything?
Yeah, keep reading verse 18.
But our bodies have many parts.
Many parts.
And God has put each part just where he wants it.
Oh, he puts each part just where he wants it. So somebody says, well, Pastor, I can't preach. I can't sing. I don't have even a whole lot to give. So I wouldn't think anybody misses me, but you don't understand. Your smile is one of the best smiles we've seen in millions of years. When you just come and smile, you light up the room. You don't know how important you are. God has placed everybody in the body because everybody means something. And from my vantage point, I sometimes wish y'all had my vantage point. Standing from here, I get to see a lot of you, and you just light me up. I don't have time to point out everybody, and I'm sorry when sometimes I point out the same people. But let me talk about Miss Ball just for a second, Sister Frances Edmond. Just today when I just hugged her, just her yellow, and it just looked good, felt good hugging her. It was just something special about her because she provides something to the table. And if you knew her, you would know that she's actually been going through a rough time, but she won't let her rough time stop her from showing up and be what she needs to be. Not very loud, quite quiet, but she makes a big difference. I wanted to go in the back and see the young little kids in the back. And when I came out, I decided to hug Miss Ruby. And she's like, man, you smell good. You know, that just made me feel good that she said I smell good. That don't help me preach. It don't make me more anointed, but it touches my human soul. It makes me feel good. Just the little things you do can push people a long way. And the devil has tried to make you feel you're insignificant, but it's a whole lie. So come to the house of God. Be a part. Well, I can't make it there. I tune in online. Well, sometimes when I go back and when I edit stuff, I find out there are people who are watching online and it blesses me. Lady Devin told me something that just touched me last week. She was talking about Brother Will and Sister Lynn's daughter, how she on TikTok went live and live streamed our service so a friend of hers could hear the word that we're preaching. I don't have nothing to do with that. That didn't come from Deliverance Temple. That's one person deciding, I want to help, and she's spreading the word, making a difference. It doesn't take a lot to make a difference. Makes a difference. When I see the young men coming, when I see them walk in and sit, and they always give me dap. At the fair, I bumped into them. They always give me dap and love. I feel special. I know I'm 49, but they make me feel like I'm young and cool. They provide something to me. Everybody can contribute. Everybody can contribute. All right, last verse before we move on from this. 1 Corinthians 12:27.
All of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a part of it.
Each one of you is a part of it. So contribute. All right, let's add these things to help. So followers spend more time contributing than they do consuming, or watch this, or complaining. Well, DT don't do this. Lady Devin don't do this. Andre don't do this. Joyce don't do that. See, when you don't like somebody, it's no longer Pastor, it's Andre Devin, Joyce. But it's a possibility. The reason why we're not doing it is because God has called you to do it. So he's showing you not to complain, but to contribute. Well, I don't have no issue with Andre, Joyce, and Devin. I got an issue with them other folk in the staff. Well, we say the staff meetings are actually open to everybody to come and listen to see what's going on. If you've never come to listen to see what's going on, how do you have so much to say about the decisions that are being made? Contributors contribute instead of complaining. But I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about the mother folk. All right, next verse. Not next verse, but the next point that I want to put up is this. Great leaders are great because they have great contributing followers. Any success that I have is because of you undergirding and supporting. All right, here's another problem, a bigger issue. So I said the first two can have the leader, and the second one could the leader and you. This one could be all the people. So here it is, number three. Some people just have a failure to care. You ever dealt with somebody who just don't care? And they show you that they don't care by how they move. They show you that they don't care. It's hard to have followers who don't care. Well, I don't like delivery sermon because I never know what's going on. Well, have you ever read The Losing Nutter? No, I don't have time for all that. I ain't got time for the app. Well, what about the announcements? Well, I come to church purposely to miss all that. Well, you don't care. So I can't be blamed for your lack of care. All right. So you got to get your care up. So let's look at Revelations 3, 15 through 17. Starting at verse 15 says what?
I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other.
All right. Many of us know this story. This is Jesus talking about the church of Laodicea who got to the no caring place. So look at verse 16, what it says.
But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth.
I will spit you out of my mouth. Let me give you a little context to this. And so back in those days, Laodicea sat in between two places, Hierapolis and Colossae. Hierapolis were known for their hot springs like Arkansas. They had hot springs that came up out of the ground. If you've ever been to Hot Springs, Arkansas, there's actually hot water that naturally comes out of the ground. Colossae was known for its cold water. Laodicea was in the middle. And what would happen is by the time the hot water would get to Laodicea, it'd be lukewarm. By the time the cold water would get to Laodicea, it would be lukewarm. So Jesus was using a real natural example to show them their spiritual state. You are neither hot or nor cold. And some people think it means you need to be all in or all out. It's not that. It's saying you need to provide refreshment. In other words, I either want a hot cup of coffee or I want iced coffee. I don't want lukewarm. Lukewarm doesn't refresh. Either you want it hot or you want it cold. And when people don't care, they are indifferent. Let me add this. Sometimes people have been upset and I can handle it because I can tell they care. I'm mad about this, Pastor Andre. I'm bothered by this, but they're coming in the right way. But at least it shows me that they care. Some people, they just don't care. And it's hard to lead people who don't care. For some of y'all who are parents and grandparents and kids are getting ready to go back to school, on the first day of school, everybody's excited. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks later, it's much harder to get them kids out of the house because they don't care no more. I don't want to go. I'm tired. I'm sick. My head hurts. Let me talk about my own self. My mama would wake me up and tell me, boy, go get in the bathroom. And I'd be taking a while in the bathroom. She'd open the door. I done fell asleep on the bathroom floor. I ain't washed nothing. Amen. And she got to get the belt to beat me, to wake me up. And the reason why that happened, I didn't care. I was going there to make bad grades anyway. I didn't care. I was going there to be the class clown anyway. I didn't care. So what happened is my mother had to beat some care into me. But as a pastoral shepherd, I can't beat the folk up. And one of the problems with beating the folk up is the folk who do care have to sit and listen to the beat up messages. So I can't do that. So a lot of times people just slip through the cracks. So if you're going to be a follower, you have to care yourself. I can't do it for you. And here's the reason why Laodicea, the spirit, why they didn't care. Let's look at the next verse, verse 17.
You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
Wow. The reason why they didn't care is because they thought they had it all together. They were self-righteous. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. My 401k looks good. My mortgage looks good. My investments look good. But God says your spirit looks bad. He says, you're saying you are all this, and I see you as poor. I see you as blind. I see you as miserable. I see you as naked. And the reason why you don't care is because spiritually you're no longer connected. So you can't be that type of follower. Not too long ago I was praying, and it was something that irritated me because I dealt with two people. One person is not necessarily, I've never heard themselves calling themselves a Christian. I've never heard them talk about following the Lord, but they are just an excellent person, excellent to be around. And then there's this other person who does say they are a Christian, talk about God all the time, but whenever I'm around them, it irritates my soul. Their spirit is just so nasty and ugly. And I was praying about it. How is it that I would much rather spend time with the person who's not talking about being saved than the person who's talking about being God? And God spoke to me. He said, because it's better to deal with a humble sinner than an arrogant saint. And that hit me. Like some people, the reason why they don't care, they're so arrogant. They think they're doing God a favor. If you look at the scripture, you'll see it. The Pharisee and the publican, he came. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like this sinner over here. And the scripture says God didn't hear none of his prayers because God don't deal with arrogance. And so have you stopped caring because you're so arrogant, you think you've got it all together. Your dress hangs all the way down to the floor. You got the biggest hat on in the world, but your spirit is jacked up. You're lukewarm in your spirit. People can't get anything from you. And you wonder why folk don't want to spend time at the church. It's sometimes it's too many people who just don't care. Some people say, it's an old saying, and I won't quote it because I'll probably get it wrong, but it talks about knowing how much a person cares. You can talk about caring, but caring is shown in real service, in real action. Those of us who've gone through stuff, we've had people show us that they care, but we realize they really didn't care. Hey, I know you're going through. Call me anytime. That works until you call them anytime. And you realize, oh, they was just talking. They didn't really care. There are other people, you can tell they're busy, but they'll make time for you because they care. I'm very busy, but if you approach me and you've got a need, I got a need. If you're hurting, I'm hurting because I'm going to crawl in there with you because I care. I care. But I wonder, does the leader care more than the follower? It's got to work together, all right? So let's move on to something else. And here's another reason why people sometimes don't care. Mark 4, 18 says what?
Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word.
So this is the parable of the sower. The sower sows seed, and then the disciples ask Jesus what he was talking about, and he breaks it down and says the sower sows the word. He talks about four different types of soil. The best soil produces the best results. This is the third of the fourth soils, and it says this. He says, these people, they hear the word, but it's sown among thorns. And then this is what's very important. Verse 19 says this.
And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Oh, here's the problem. The reason why some people don't care is because the care is being choked out of them because they have care for so much other things. In other words, we talk about seek ye first the kingdom of God, or we talk about prioritizing God. But when God is step number 20 on your rung of things to do, it's hard to really be locked into God when he falls so low. It blessed me so much because my favorite verse is, since I've become the pastor, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And to see Sadie, and as we prayed for her to declare that verse. Oh, I didn't hear her say that because you wasn't on time to be in the prayer. To hear the prayer being prayed and see a little girl prayed and prayed the word of God and spoke something talking about how God will direct our paths. Y'all know I'm petty, so I just slipped that right on in. But the point is the cares of life, are they choking things out of you? Now, we understand when you're going through legitimate things, but what happens when you're just picking up stuff to be picking up stuff? You're doing stuff just to do stuff. Let me be even more petty. You'll post that you went to the Beyonce concert, and Beyonce ain't cheap. And since she wasn't in Indianapolis, that means you had to fly there to get there, had to stay in the hotel. Ain't nothing wrong. Go, if you enjoy her, go enjoy her. But don't fuss at me if I ask for $5 to raise to give to a hurting family. Don't show me one thing and then do another. All they ever do is ask for money. That's all Beyonce does is ask for money. And you the beehive, you buzz right on over there. But if the church wants something, so why don't I fuss about that a lot? Because I realize they just don't care. And you can't make folk care for you who don't care.
Amen.
So what do I do? One offering, and thank the folk that give, and don't worry about the folk that don't. I'm grateful for the, because I care about the ministry, and the people who are giving, they should be celebrated more than me spending whole messages talking about the few folk that don't care. I want to focus on the folk that care. There's an old saying, say, love the ones you're with.
Yeah.
All right, so let's put these things up. We're going to our fourth one next. Care for culture and concern for worldly things can choke the care for following God out of you. All right. And that's just simple and plain. And I'm going to move right on to the last one. And here's the last one. And here's the most harsh one. Failure to one's calling. Let me put up a verse, but last week I talked about surviving the call, what it takes for me to walk in my call. In other words, to stay committed to the call. But if the leader is staying committed to the call and the followers are not committed to the call, it will never work. But let's put up this one verse, and hopefully this ain't none of you in here, but let's put this one verse up.
And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ.
All right, let me just be plain and simple. There's some folk who come to church that don't belong to Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you like Emma said, some of y'all just need to get saved first. I ain't talking about y'all. Like I said, I'm talking about them other folk or whoever God wants me to talk about. But here's the thing, the reason why some people have stopped caring and they don't contribute is because they're not really called. They come for a lot of different reasons, but they really are not belonging to Jesus Christ. And I can't pastor folk that ain't even following Jesus. If they don't really love Jesus, what do I think I'm going to do? Now, there are people who are trying to get close and they're trying to learn. They're struggling. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who have just checked out. I can't do nothing with them folk. There's some people in your life you can't do nothing with because they just checked out. There's a boyfriend that you keep trying to get to love you, but he checked out. He got six other girlfriends. You might as well just take yourself off the roll and move on, because he's showing you he does not care. But he called me, Pastor, and he cried. Yeah, he cried to the other six girls too. That's what he does. You got to read the writing on the wall. When folk don't care, let them go. And when people don't really belong to Christ, what in heaven can I do? All right, moving right along. 2 Peter 1, 9 through 10 says this. Now let's take it beyond that, okay? Let's say you are really called to Christ. Let's take it beyond that. Let's look what 2 Peter 1, 9, 10 says.
But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin.
The previous verse says things that we ought to do to add to our faith. It talks about adding to your faith patience and all those things. And so then it says the person who doesn't do that, really they're just blinded. And so then it adds something to us that's very important that happens not in the church building. It should happen outside of here. Look at the next verse, verse 10.
Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall.
So what God says, we individually have to make our calling and our election sure. We can't be failing in our calling. At the end of the day, I'm called to something higher than pastoring this church. I'm called to belong to Jesus Christ. Yes. And if I get in the situation where I feel like belonging to Jesus Christ and following Jesus Christ is pointless, then something is wrong with my relationship. That's why we start in the very first part of our vision statement is not connect with Andre, not give to Deliverance Temple, but connect with your Creator continually. That's what you're in it for, is because of Him. So you take time to make sure. The scripture, one scripture says, make sure you're even in the faith. All right. Now we're going to go into two very famous scriptures, but we're going to focus on the part we normally don't focus on. Here's the first famous scripture, Romans 8, 28.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called.
Hold on. We always talk about it, and all things work together for good. We know all things work together for good. We know all things work together for good, but that's not what the full verse says. To them who are what? Called, according to those who are not failing in their calling. That's the ones where things are going to work out. How is it that you had all that junk in your life and somehow you're getting better? You had all this loss, all this trouble, and somehow you're getting better because God is working things out for me. Well, God isn't working things out for me, baby. It's because you're not called. You're not following the calling. Or here's a simple thing. Let me just do it this way. Hello? Hello? Guess what I'm doing? I'm answering the call. I can ignore the call. Yesterday I was at the fair and I had a call from someone that it's too noisy for me to answer this call. So I just let it ring and I refused to answer the call. But how many times has God called you and you too busy?
Yes.
Now there's sometimes you're away from your phone. You don't know he's calling. That's one thing. It's another thing to have the phone in your hand and look at him like, oh, no. You ever had some people in your life, you're like, oh, no, not today.
Not today.
Not right now. That's okay, but not to God it ain't. It's not okay to God. So are you really called? Are you really called to Jesus? I love you, but if you're not really called to Jesus, I really don't want you in my church. Because ain't nothing I can do for you. The only thing you're going to do is bring trouble. Because if you're not following Jesus, what make me think you're going to follow me? All right, let's go to another famous verse that we like to quote.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Oh, called out of darkness into the marvelous light. So if God is calling you out of darkness and you prefer to stay in darkness, you can't get happy when I say we are royal priesthood. We are chosen generation. Don't clap. Don't say amen if you're not answering the call. Because it's only for those who've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Let me add something that I didn't think I would add, I didn't think I would say, but let me say it really briefly. How can I say it? I'm only going to say it a little bit. I don't want to talk too much, but I do want people to hear it, both online and in the building. I don't know what's going on, but Lady Devin and I know about something. We've had in person in this congregation sending nasty letters to me as the pastor, typing them out and sending them to me with their complaints. Don't have the gumption to come talk to me face to face, too cowardly, but are sending me letters and cussing in the letters to me of things. And they say, we belong to Deliverance Temple. So when I'm just preaching, I'm not just throwing stuff in the air. I got folk here that ain't following Jesus.
That's right.
And that's all I'm going to say. If we get another letter, we have a planned response. But and both times that I actually opened them, it was right before I was getting ready to preach. And I got to look and see a bunch of junk written to me. And I don't pastor a mega church. You know my ad. You can find my address. You know my phone number. You can get, I'm easy to find. But what has caused me from really being overly concerned about it is, if you're not following Christ, what do I think you're going to do following me?
That's right.
But I would prefer, if you don't like the leadership so much that you got to send me nasty letters, why waste time coming to the church? There's plenty of churches that you could go to. Why don't you just either come talk to me, or maybe you're right and we can talk it through. Come talk to me. Well, I sent you a letter. No, you sent me an anonymous letter. You won't put your address on there. You won't put your name on there. So that means that you really don't want the situation fixed. You just causing
trouble.
Trouble in my way. Oh, man, but guess what? Guess what? The one place the devil actually likes to go to, he loves to go to the club. No, he likes to come to church. Because that's where he could cause trouble. All right. So let me just say it one more time, put it up. I'm coming to a close. If you aren't really following Christ, you will never follow correctly in a ministry.
Amen.
It's just that simple. And I've learned that over time. And it's disappointing, but listen, I ain't going to stress myself out. You don't love the Lord. Why do I think you really going to love me? All right. And because here's the thing, because the Holy Spirit convicts. When you deal with people who don't get convicted, ain't nothing you can do. Don't waste your time. All right, so here's the conclusion. The favorite part of the sermon. Here's the conclusion. 1 Corinthians 11:1. I'll read this myself. It says this: follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You're not looking at a perfect man. You can look at my TikToks and tell me I'm not a perfect man. I got some silliness in me. But I'm just following Christ. Just follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not asking you to follow me and end up with me. I'm asking you to follow me as I follow Christ. Next verse, John 10:14. Look at what the scripture says. Read that, Mother Mitchell.
I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me.
And they do what?
Know me.
No, let's see. Let me go back. Let's go to verse. Let's go to the next verse. Yeah, verse 27. I like the first verse, but this is what I want.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
They do what?
follow me.
He said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. So all I need for some good followers of people who will follow Christ. Now, I want you to follow the Christ in me, but I've said this 100 times, and I'll say it 101. If I no longer follow Christ, I give you the permission to no longer follow me.
Amen.
Because I can't get you into heaven. You need to be following Christ. But here's what good followers will do. Good followers won't let the leader stop following Christ.
Amen.
Teresa gonna pull me aside before I get to her. Pastor Andre, I don't think that was in the Bible. Someone write about that. Lady Devon gonna say something. Because good followers make sure that the ship stays correct. Some of y'all have seen this. It was a CEO of a company at a Coldplay concert who got busted with a woman that wasn't his. And they both work at the same company. And there was a lady beside them, though, a lady beside them who knew him. And she knew it was going on. But evidently she was in a company that you can't speak the truth. Listen, some of y'all see me with somebody that don't look like Devin, y'all be ringing. Now, hold on. First, y'all going to ring her phone first. Y'all ain't going to tell me. Y'all going to tell her first. And somebody going to try to find out. Because you want to keep me on the straight and narrow. But by the same token, when LL Cool J come on TV and Devin is licking her lips, I want y'all to say something too. Slow her down too.
Yes.
And when she talk about she want to go to the Usher concert, don't let her sit on the front row. You got to have them seats in the back. Keep us on the straight and narrow. Come on, let's stand to our feet. All right, let's repeat this together. Lord, help me to always follow you and those you place over me. I want to follow correctly, faithfully, and fearlessly. We're going to do it again. Follow correctly, follow faithfully, and follow fearlessly. So your purpose in my life will be fulfilled. Come on, clap your hands this morning. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, thank you for bringing me to 14 years of pastoral leadership. But God, as I try to raise as leaders, God, help us to raise as followers so that we all become the church that you want us to be. And ultimately, let us follow you the way we need to follow you. Now, Father God, if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that doesn't know your son in the pardon of their sins, I pray they would pray this simple prayer with me and say, Father God, you sent your son to die for all my sins. I accept him now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you need prayer for any reason, your prayer people will pray for you. Other than that, God bless you. Have a great, wonderful, marvelous week.